Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. I am Jeff Barton, and this is The Mortgage Voice. Thank you very much for tuning in, for listening each and every week. We're on a number of different podcasts, whether it's Spreaker or Apple or Google. Certainly, we're on YouTube. We're on 5 radio stations in 3 different states. We want you to join. Listen to us each and every week. If you want to watch us on YouTube. Click buttons that you like what we're doing, and we try to continue to bring you information on mortgages and real estate. This is a changing environment, and those things are going to really impact how you make decisions. So, I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Listen in. Thank you very much for doing so each and every week. Okay, so the main topic of conversation in the first segment here will be inflation. What is inflation, and why are people so upset about it? So much so that it seems to dominate conversations and people who have to pay more for things. Daryl, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you remember your first job?
I do.
Okay, excellent. Do you remember ever getting a raise at that job?
I did not.
Okay. Oh, that wasn't the answer I was hoping for. Well, you have gotten raises in your life, right?
Yes, from the time I start to the time I end. I've gone from the bottom to the top.
Okay, excellent. So that's inflation, folks. When people work and then they get either raises at their jobs or they move to a different job and get paid more money, that's inflation. Wage inflation is a real thing. Now, this particular round of crises that have happened since the pandemic, whether it's government stimulus, whether it's continued purchases of mortgage-backed securities or bonds from the Fed, whether it's getting a $300 a week extra bump on your unemployment check. All of this is inflation, too. So this round of inflation, 6, 7%, whatever it's going to be, and it's going to go up, by the way, short term, certainly. What we've seen is prices go up because there's so much money around. Everybody knows that. The supply of money has gone through the roof since the Fed began doing what it does. Okay. Some things will return to a more normal pricing. Cars, used cars, food. But certain things are not. And one of the reasons for that, especially in wages, is because the labor market is extremely tight. What does that usually mean? Is we get a quit rate like we had last month at 4.5 million people deciding, hey, I do not want to work here anymore. What's that famous country western song?
Take this job and shove it.
Absolutely. And so there are a lot of people doing that. And the reason is because they can go out and get another job, pays more money. So the quit rate is actually a good sign for the type of economy we're in, although with a tight labor market, employers have to pay more money. That's inflation. Now, is there anyone that listens to the show think that inflation is something else? Because I'd love to hear it. I've heard all the macro and the micro and all the economic experts talk about why this person didn't do that or why this particular political party is doing something else. Quite frankly, because the Fed decided to make money plentiful, and by the way, that's exactly what they said should have happened during the Great Depression, not the Great Recession, the Great Depression of the 30s. Had the government stepped in and massively spent money on citizens, the Great Depression wouldn't have happened at the rate that it did. And during the Great Recession, which was back in 08, what the government did at that time was they handed out billions of dollars to major banks and businesses. But that didn't trickle down to the average Joe. And it was good for Wall Street. It's not good for Main Street. Remember those sayings? Well, this time around, they did it differently. They gave a lot of money to corporations, absolutely. The PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, absolutely. But a lot of small businesses and people who were unemployed got extra money to maintain the standard of living, but more importantly, to maintain the economy. The economy did not go into a huge recession. has not. Matter of fact, the economy is doing pretty well. What did happen was, because of the overabundance of money, people began to be able to pay more for stuff, making other stuff scarce. And supply and demand says when stuff is scarce, it costs you more money. That's inflation. So as we get into this season of winding it down, of tightening it up, of ratcheting, of all the interest rate hikes that we're hearing about, remember that this is way better than what happened in 08, when 10, 15, 20 million people are out of work. It was terrible. The average price of real estate dropped 75% in some areas. It took until 2016 to get out of that in a lot of places where I live. And I live in a very expensive area. So inflation as it is, you're talking about wages and the supply of money by the Fed. They're taking the supply of money by the Fed away, and they're going to raise rates. They've already, you know, they're midway through the taper now, which is, of course, the ending of mortgage-backed security purchases and the mortgage and of treasury purchases. And they're also talking about now what the Fed did do is, since they bought all these things, they have a lot of stuff on their books, right? They have $7 trillion worth of assets to either let expire or sell. That's going to begin too. And what these three steps will do to inflation in the hopes of the Fed, and they've done it before, so it's not like a brand new program. Volcker started it way back when, in the Nixon and Carter administrations. What it does is it dries up the money. The liquidity, they call it, the money that's out there, plentifully made by the Fed, is now they're going to suck it back up, i.e. by stop pumping money into the economy with the purchases, by selling assets, which are pretty good assets. This will also take private sector money out of the system. And that pretty much is going to do what they do for inflation. But they're not going to end the labor shortage unless, and this is the cruelness of what we have as capitalism, right? This is what happens. When you run out of money, you go back to work. And it's going to happen. People have had money. They saved money. We've saved over $1.5 trillion during the recession. That's a lot of money. But when that money runs out or dries up or goes away, people are going to say, hey, well, I got to go back to work. At that time, you're going to see a loosening of the tightness in the labor market. The labor market itself today is demanding higher wages, causing wage inflation. I don't think wage inflation is going to go away, because I think a lot of people have decided, hey, that job, that take that job and shove it thing, I don't want to do that job anymore. And they've moved on to a different and better, or they've quit and are quitting permanently. But these two or three or four things I've talked about during inflation and what inflation is and how it's going to affect and when it will be over, mid-2022, that's what they're saying. That's what they say at the Fed. Now, the Fed is an interesting thing. There are Fed board governors, as in Philadelphia and Dallas and San Francisco and L.A. and New York and Philadelphia and certainly down in Miami. There's a lot of them, right? But there's only a few, I think there's nine of them, that vote on what happens to the economy. When you see Lael Brainard, who is was up for Jerome Powell's job. And by the way, Jerome Powell, who's head of the Federal Reserve, is being confirmed for his second term right now. That was a Bush appointee, not a Bush appointee, a Trump appointee, and reconfirmed, will be reconfirmed pretty much unanimously, in my opinion. There are a few dissenters, but for the most part, consistency in times of turmoil are the best way to go. But this inflation, wage inflation is going to be here. And like, again, is there anybody who doesn't want to make more money? Everybody wants to make more money. And I think that's a good thing. I think there's a certain amount of inflation that's built into the system anyway, even though we haven't hit that target for years. We'll talk about that a little later in the section, a little later in the show. I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. I really appreciate you listening each and every week. It's a volatile time, so we're going to talk about rates and where programs are headed, and then bring on a whole bunch of guests that'll explain it a little bit better than I am. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back. Our show here, The Mortgage Voice, is available whenever you need information, even if you need it right away. To fit your busy schedule, of course, we make it easy to watch or listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website at themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice, and our Mortgage Minutes and Weekly program also available on YouTube. Podcast form, wherever you need it. Our podcasts, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Each and every week, we try to bring to you great people, people who know way more about mortgages and real estate than I do. Now, I've been in the business quite a long time, but it takes specific knowledge in specific areas to really guide both your decisions about buying and selling or refinancing or whatever you want to do with a mortgage, or if you're just looking for information about what's happening. One of these guys is a guy named Jason Frazier. He's his first time on the show from EPM. Really appreciate him coming on. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
And thank you very much for two. If you do hear an echo, don't worry about it. It doesn't come out on the show, but if you do hear it, it's okay. Okay, so okay. Jason, tell us a little bit about EPM and some of the programs you might be offering this year that you weren't quite sure it was going to come. Like, are you doing non-QM? Are you doing some jumbo products? What are some of the ones you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we offer a full array of products, pretty much every product that you need, we offer. But I would say something that's new for this year is definitely non-QM,
okay.
Especially as it relates to DSCR. So that's a big one for us. And then, we are offering a jumbo, which we didn't traditionally do in the past as
right.
well.
Right. No, that's excellent. Now, a lot of these programs, obviously, you're in competition with a number of different lenders, especially in Southern California. It's a shrinking marketplace out there. Are you bringing these to market to try to compete or to try to get more business or both?
I would say for us, I mean, obviously, we want to compete. But for us, our mission is to have, a loan for every scenario, right?
Okay.
And so we want to help as many people as possible. So that's why we want to be, an all-in-one lender, so to speak, right? We want to have that full array of programs and products so that we can help, as many people as possible, either on the retail side with our own loan officer or as a wholesale partner to our mortgage brokers.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little about EPM, because I don't think a lot of people know it as a household name. We in the business do, but tell us a little bit about the company, where you guys are located, what states you might lend in.
Yeah. So we're a national lender. We're licensed in all 50 states. EPM has been around since 2008. We're an omni-channel lender. We do direct-to-consumer, retail, wholesale, correspondent, and for us, even though we haven't been a household name, EPM stands for Equity Prime Mortgage, but we go by EPM, which has been a rebrand that started in 2020.
Okay. Tell me about the lending that you do. During COVID, it's been difficult. I assume that you're doing a lot of manual underwriting and some products that you mentioned on the show, whether it be the DSCR or the non-QM stuff?
Yeah, we do manual. VA manual is one that's kind of, kind of in demand for us. When COVID happened, we were actually one of the few lenders that, didn't retreat like a lot of them did, just because we were set up. Our chief investment officer, who is now also our president, Phil Mancuso, set us up so that, we were able to weather that storm pretty well. And then as we went into 2021, continued to, enhance and, improve everything that we were doing, service, support, technology, so that we can be that, that full range lender for everyone.
Okay. So if you are mixing your, stuff that you do that might take hands-on, a more personal approach, i.e. a manual underwriting, or if you're on the technical side trying to push files in more of a, a faster way with their technology, how do you blend them both together under one roof? I mean, I always see that usually companies do one thing or they do the other thing. If you're doing both of them, do you have a big staff or are you located centrally somewhere where you have a large building? The only reason I ask all this is because COVID has really wreaked havoc with so many offices that I've seen, talked to, lenders. How's it affecting you? And is that first scenario that I mentioned how you guys operate?
Yeah, so the beauty of the way that EPM was already set up pre-COVID was we were a distributed workforce, meaning so we, you know, a majority of our people do not work in our headquarters here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
So we're distributed throughout the country with a high concentration on, you know, like central and eastern time zones.
Right.
But we have people, you know, from New York, New Jersey, all the way to California and Oregon. And so the being a distributed workforce actually helped us because we didn't have to have everyone in the same building. We were already operating that way. And then from a, you know, to your point, you know, it has, you know, technology has to be at the forefront.
Right.
But we don't, you know, we use technology as an enhancement, not a replacement. We don't want to automate the relationship because that's the most important part of our business.
Good way to put it.
And yeah, and so when it comes to, you know, some technology, we're putting some things in play like SnapDocs, a system called Candor that allows us to utilize machine learning and AI to give faster decisions and to really enhance, you know, our underwriting turn times.
Now, okay, so are you selling to Fannie and Freddie, and also you have must have outside sources for the other kind of products you're using?
Yeah, so, you know, so we're a direct seller, so
okay.
Jenny, Fannie, Freddie.
Right.
We don't have a pool of investors, so to speak, like a lot of retail IMBs do. But we do, you know, for like a certain DPA, a non-QM, jumbo. Those are ones that we have, you know, outside investors for.
Okay, lending this year. Where do you see it going with rates rising currently? I guess they're up around 3.5% now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, the way that I look at it, especially with inflation and everything else, and definitely this is not my area of expertise,
right.
Personally.
Right.
I see rates kind of staying flat. You know, I honestly see them going a little bit lower. You know, look, I listen to the experts like Dave Luna, Barry Habib,
yep.
And then our own president,
yep.
Phil Mancuso. And if you talk to Phil will tell you that rates are never going up. and what he means by that, like rates obviously have gone up a little bit. But meaning it's, you know, we're going to stay in the world that we've been in probably, you know, since the crash, right? We're going to probably
right.
be in the 3 to 4, 4.5. But I think it's going to stay in the threes, if, again, taking the experts, not me, but just taking what the experts
sure.
say.
No, I like that, obviously, quoting different people in our industry. A lot of the listeners won't know who the heck these people are, but experts, yeah, they're all predicting, and I've read many articles about it saying that we're looking no more than 4% by the end of the year, yet at the,
yep.
you know, the first month of the year, at 3.5. Now, at the beginning of COVID, we didn't know what was going to happen, but business boomed. So, you know, who knows what is going to happen? I just know that now these rates are still really good, and if you can get into a property and you want to buy it and you can afford it, this is the time to do it. Wouldn't you say the same?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And this is what I think everyone's, you know, missing is that even if rates go up a point and a half, let's say they go up in 2 points.
Right.
They're still technically at historic lows.
Right. That's
even
right.
Even then. And I think everyone just has the memory of basically the crash until now. And that's the world they've lived in. And understanding that, hey, rates used to be 9, 10, 12,
yep.
15.
Yep.
You know, percent. And guess what? People did business then. As long as people need a home, well, you know, there will be lenders that are well positioned to service that business. And from a consumer standpoint, listening to this, is that, look, you know, you can get with all the professionals, all the experts. No one has that crystal ball in because no one called COVID, right? You know, no one
right.
knew that was going to happen. And not only that, but no one knew that was going to be a huge boom for our industry when everyone thought, like, oh, man, like, no one's going to buy a house. Don't
right.
do all that. Ended up having 2 years of unicorn growth that's never happened before. So what I would say to them is that don't wait for the rate to go down. If you like it, you can afford the payment, you like it, do it, because those same people last year that were waiting for their perfect rate,
right.
Guess what? They got it, but now they can afford a lot less house than they could have if they would have just bought earlier. And so to me, it's, and then same with like if you're sitting on the fence to do a refi and you're waiting for that rate again, it's like, look, if you wait 3 or 4 months, it's going to take you 3 or 4 years to make up the money that you would have saved up until that point.
I agree.
There is a huge cost of waiting, disadvantage for consumers. If you like it, do it.
Absolutely. Listen, Jason, we're up against the time clock here. You want to shout out a way by people can get a hold of you or follow you on Twitter or some way by which they can, communicate?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Our website is epm.net. You could go there. For me personally, I'm all over social media, but if you connect with me on LinkedIn, just search for Jason Frazier, or connect with me on Facebook or Instagram.
Jason, thank you very much. Really good talk and a lot of good information. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. That's Jason Frazier from EPM. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show each and every week. We're on a number of different radio stations, and this next guest is from Albuquerque, New Mexico. He is down in K-Mine country. Love that station. Been on it for a couple of years now. People down there, you have a city that is, on fire real estate-wise. Went up quite a bit last year, but I'm going to let him talk about it more than I can because he's the expert. Richard Green from Albuquerque, what is it, New Mexico Mortgage Company, correct?
Yep.
Okay, excellent.
Hey, hi, Jeff.
Hi. How are you?
Doing great. So, Jeff, how do you record a mortgage when your county has had a ransomware attack?
You don't.
That's a trick question.
You don't. You basically don't.
So anyway, we're fortunate. Our big excitement this week is all week, and nothing seems to give, is the Albuquerque, one of the biggest cities in New Mexico, and the county, Bernalillo County, one of the biggest counties in New Mexico, has been under a ransomware attack for the last week. So we're not recording any mortgages. Nobody's getting married. So it's an interesting time right now in real estate with the finalization of documents and deeds and mortgages and such. So that's a little bit of excitement right now going on. And there's no word on when it will be fixed or how it will be fixed.
Well, you remember the old days when we used to have to actually go down there and get things stamped and then put stuff in a drawer. Are they going to go back to that?
We'd like it. Somebody, I read somewhere that they do about 600 recordings a day.
Oh, my.
Which is, for a city this size, seems about right.
And, okay.
So we're all just on hold. Like, we're still funding loans with our fingers crossed. Everyone's agreeing that we're funding loans and deeds will be recorded and mortgages will be recorded once the system comes back up online.
Unbelievable. And is this happening statewide or just in your county?
Just the county, Bernalillo County.
Now I don't want to...
Going on a week now, so...
Wow.
But besides that, our market is pretty much the biggest bump I believe Albuquerque has ever seen in the lifetime of the 300-plus years of Albuquerque being a city. We've just had it. And it's still alive and well. It hasn't necessarily relaxed is what we thought it might relax a little
right.
bit. It's still strong.
Wow. What is the inventory like? Is it still low?
Still low. There are lots coming online. I think this year there's going to be builder's lots. There's a couple, I think 500 maybe is up to 1,000 lots, which again doesn't sound like a tremendous amount, but for a city the size of ours, that really helps, that there'll potentially be a 1,000 new builds, because that's part of the appreciation of this. There's been no developed lots
right.
For new construction. The cost is through the roof.
Yep.
A lot of folks are converting properties to even short-term rentals. That's been a huge phenomenon in the last 12 to 24 months in Albuquerque. We've seen more Airbnbs come online, which those potentially could have been sold or could have been...
Right.
So that's been a big... That's really affected our prices as well.
Do you see the large corporations coming in, or are these mom-and-pop shops putting up...
Mom-and-pop, potentially from other markets, because such
right.
as Albuquerque, in comparison to Phoenix, L.A., Las Vegas, even Denver, we're still low man on the totem pole. So if somebody can be in California and sell their... We see it. I see it. They sell their... Their 1,500 square foot house for $1.2
yeah.
million. They come here and buy a very pleasant single family for $600 cash, and they have $400 left over to buy a rental house and cash. And we see that. For our mortgage clients, it's kind of one of those. Our mortgage clients are offering $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 above ask to compete with the cash offers.
Wow. Wow, that's it. That's
yeah.
Okay, so how is a lot of things come to mind. The programs, products, how are the appraisals being handled in a situation like that?
So we have a deficiency of appraisers. We have a bottleneck of getting appraisals done.
Right.
And it all kind of goes back to the advent of appraisal management companies and
right.
really... appraisers, it really is a big, I'm not sure if the listeners know, it takes so much to become a real estate appraiser now.
Yep.
You need practically 2,000 hours. It's a year, practically, of working under another certified appraiser, and for the most part, it's a glorified internship. They don't really get paid a whole lot.
So right.
To become a new appraiser really takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort, and you have to have potentially some other income to just survive for that year while you're internshipping, practically.
Right, and then you go work for an AMC, and what do you get paid there? Not that much either.
Not that much either, exactly. And so we have, with our very steady, very healthy buy-sell market, and it's relaxing a little bit because rates did so many people. We had such a busy year with folks that can refi or wanted to
right.
refi. There was, as you're aware, we came through a very busy time, and appraisers, well, some people are tired, too. They got, I don't want to say burnt out, but they're tired. A couple of our favorite appraisers are talking about retiring, and it's just like, oh, no, don't retire. But that's, and so we definitely have a bottleneck in appraisers and getting loans done, but we're still getting them done. I don't mean to sound I don't want to say pessimistic, but we're still fortunate that we're closing loans, that we're still helping people. Programs, we have a lot of vets with the Air Force Base being right in Albuquerque. We have a VA hospital in Albuquerque, so we do a good many VA loans, and those are wonderful to work with because all those appraisers, They just go do the job. It's just right through the VA,
right.
And they're done in 4 or 5 days. And so those are always wonderful.
No, that's good. And that you bring up the products. What are some of the other products that are maybe when rates go up, maybe more attractive? Are you looking at the non-QM world?
We're seeing more bank statement programs. We're seeing many more. We're doing more. Just not sure if it's a market shift, but we're. In the marketplace, mortgage companies call them non-QM mortgages, which
right.
basically just means there's more ways to qualify. So you're qualifying on your cash flow of your bank statement. You're qualifying simply on the cash flow of the rental property you're buying. Those are, as real estate gets popular and rental rates go up, more people want to become real estate investors, and so we've seen a good influx of those types of products, along with we do plenty of first-time homes. The first-time home buyer program is very strong here in Albuquerque, and along with FHA, with the FHA loan limits being raised, of course, across the country, that really helps Albuquerque, pretty much almost encapsulates all of us, between the Fannie Mae rates going up we're pretty much covered with, we can do a conventional loan, an FHA loan, a VA loan, a USDA loan, zero down, pretty much we're in the whole state now with loan limits being raised.
Well, those are great products for people, especially down in your area. What are the loan limits in your county? Do you remember?
I'm going to pull it up. FHA, you know, you put me on the spot, Jeff.
No, forget FHA, it. Why did I do that? I'm sorry.
65.
Okay.
Conventional is up, I think, close to, I almost want to say 650. Let me just see FHA loan
these limits. But it's 625,
it's a
something
nice
like that?
Big jump for the area. And it, to look at them, you just go, oh, man, there's it pretty much covers all the housing in Albuquerque between the two.
Right. Hey, listen, we are up against it. Shout out a way by which people can get in touch with you down in your area, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, and thank you. So we can always visit. Our website is NM, for the abbreviation of New Mexico, nmmortgagecompany.com. You can always call me directly on my cell phone, 505-228-2610. You can also text me on that number. And love to visit if you have any questions or just want to talk shop. So thank you.
Thank you, Richard, very much. I love the update. Love always talking to you. You have great information, especially for the people who are living down there who need the kind of expertise
Absolutely.
You give them. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Richard Green from New Mexico Mortgage Company. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much once again for tuning in to the show each and every week. We bring to you, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on our many radio stations, or on all of the different podcasts that we're on. We're on several. Daryl, do you have a list of those, perhaps?
I sure do, Jeff. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and, of course, PodClips.io.
Okay, PodClips.io, great place to centralize all your podcasts. There are a number of different shows on there, whether it's lifestyle or financial or sports or whatever you're into. There's an expert on that particular site. Go to it, PodClips.io. Again, thank you very much for tuning in, listening to the show. We have had a very varied show today. People from really all over, and this next guest is no exception. She's been on the show several times. She's reality TV stars marrying millions and also a real estate investor and a terrific real estate agent. Jeanti Chun. Jeanti, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. I am terrific.
Excellent. Okay. So you are out in Arkansas, I believe, yes?
Yes. I started investing in Texas and Arkansas as well, just to get away from Las Vegas a little bit.
Yep.
But, you know, the prices here are very similar to Las Vegas, and it wasn't easy to find a deal. But, you know, I am able to find them.
Okay, interesting. I have a guy I know that who's in Las Vegas, and how he does his flip business. It's a very intricate and detailed way by which he comes up with leads. You were saying it's difficult. You don't have to give away trade secrets. But in general, how do you ferret out something? Because there's a lot of people who listen to the show who are looking for that kind of business to get into.
Well, you know, it's just knowing how to look and how to find those properties. And a lot of it, you know, a lot of what I find is on the MLS, basically.
Okay.
Or even doing just doing a public search. But it's knowing exactly what to look for.
Look for in a house or look for in a property? Are you looking for land? Are you looking for a certain number of bedrooms, bathrooms? Is it a type of quality? What is it?
All of that, you know. So okay. I look at, obviously, the price point first of what I want to buy. And then I look at price per square foot, you know, and then I look at the condition. Obviously, a lot of it's online, so I don't get to see it until I send someone to actually see it if I'm not there.
Right.
So it's just breaking down. There's just a lot of aspects, and there's a lot of different determination, basically, how I determine to pick that one or to make an offer on that specific property. It has to match all my criteria, and a lot of it is price point,
right,
and how much I think it's going to cost for the renovation.
Right. Okay. So in your particular business, the flipping, you're going to buy, fix up, and sell. That's because there's the huge business now, and obviously buying, holding, and doing for rent by owner or renting it out on a short-term basis. I guess there's a lot of that going on all over. But your particular way of doing it is to flip the house and sell it, yes?
Yeah, it depends on, for me, how long I want to hold the property. And, you know, I tie some of my money up with some rentals.
Okay.
And obviously with land, I also buy land, so that I would tie my money up as well. But with certain properties, I decide before I buy it, okay, this is going to be a flip, you know, because I want to make my money and go. And depending on the percentage, you know, the return on my investment of what I'm going to make, that's when I decide, okay, based on these numbers, I'm going to flip this within 3 to 6 months and make this amount. So I'm going to go ahead and do that so I don't tie my money up. So I'm constantly making money.
No, I think cash flow is the biggest thing in that particular business because, you know, anything can happen when you own a property. For instance, the market can go down a little bit, the construction costs a little bit more. But having that plan in mind, price point of where you buy, what you're going to put into it and what you're going to sell, really is dependent on the market. So what do you see the market and where do you see the market softening or getting stronger?
Oh man, the market is holding firm. I mean,
right. Just
this, you know, from December. Let's take the number from December, okay, of 2020.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 2020. Where are we at? 2021.
2021 was last year. This is 22, right?
I'm a little lost there. Okay, so yeah, so we're talking about last month, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The end of the year, I mean, the median sales price for a home was $425,000.
Wow.
In December. And that's up from about 23% from last year at the same time. That's on single family, okay?
Yeah.
And condos have also been increasing. The number went up to 242 for median price for condos and townhomes. That's up 30% from last year.
And where is this? So, where are you saying this is? Where you are now or in Las Vegas?
No, this is Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I knew Las Vegas was like that. Absolutely.
Well, let me tell you, the rest of the country is very similar.
Right.
I mean, Texas, yeah, even here in the South, it's very, very similar. The price point here is already $200 to $300 per square foot for a house.
Yeah, it's just, it's really amazing. Now, in getting back to Las Vegas, where, of course, we have one of our affiliates down there, AM 1400 K-Ship, tell us a little bit about taking the strategy that you're talking about in terms of flipping or doing that kind of business. Does it translate into Las Vegas or is it too expensive there?
Well, I mean, even in Las Vegas, there are deals that you can still find, just not very many. Now, I've gone a little bit outside of Las Vegas to Forum.
Right.
Where the price point for me is still pretty good, you know, so I go there and I have invested there. But, you know, and even in Forum market, in Las Vegas, we're talking about less than a month's supply.
Wow. That's
overall.
I don't understand it, really. I mean, what's going to fix that problem? Because when people talk about inflation, right, this is what they're talking about. You don't have any product, and people will pay whatever they pay. So the house prices go up. That's inflation. And I think that's happening over a lot of different places. But in the real estate world, hey, the demand is high because people need a place to live. And there aren't any places to live.
Absolutely. And, you know, building costs has also increased.
Right.
Because, you know, me doing the flips and having to buy the materials.
Right.
And, you know, the lumber and stuff. Oh, my God. It's outrageous. And that's the reason the prices keep increasing. Because the building cost is a lot higher than before, too. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to really happen, you know. All I know is there's not any supply. There's low supply and high demand. So prices will continue to increase. I mean, granted, you know, I mean, it's not going to be like California and New York prices, but, you know.
Let's hope not.
Definitely.
I mean, I had somebody, a friend of mine who's in the business a long time, said, look, you're going to get California where $1 million is going to be the lowest price that you can buy a house, especially in any place you want to live. I mean, that's...
Yeah, and, you know, exactly. And, you know, also in Las Vegas, this year, I mean, it's luxury homes.
Right.
Have continued to outperform, you know, in the overall market.
Wow.
So in 2021, the record sales for homes priced at $1 million was the highest it's ever been.
That's amazing. It truly is amazing. I mean, I've seen, you know, the really down times in Las Vegas back in 08, 9, 10, and to see it come back this strong and continue to grow in population, even during COVID, it's really, really spectacular.
Absolutely, you know, and but we have a lot of buyers coming from California and Utah and the surrounding cities because it is way more affordable.
Yeah, exactly. You sell here, buy there. I mean, you mentioned it early on. I mean, it's just the way that we do it. Listen, John T., we're up against it here. Shout out a way by which people can get a hold of you if they need a terrific agent in Las Vegas, Nevada. I didn't even tell them who the company you work for. Sorry.
Well, you can look me up. You can always look me up. I'm all over the internet there. And also, my number is 702-467-3131.
Excellent.
Serious inquiries only, please.
Exactly. No, that's very good. Well, anyway, I appreciate you coming on the show. I want to talk to you about our other project that we're doing very soon. But again, thanks very much for coming on, and you know, we'll talk soon.
Terrific. Thank you for having me, always. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. That's John T. Chun. She's the star of Marrying Millions. She's a real estate investor and a terrific real estate agent in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thank you very much for listening and tuning into the show each and every week. We are on 5 different stations in 3 different states, whether it's KCAA, KMET in Southern California, K-Tahoe up in the Lake Tahoe area in between a couple of great mountain ranges up in Central California. We're also down in, what's our Las Vegas affiliate's name?
KSHP, K-Shop.
K-Shop, KSHP.
Or Ship Shop.
Yes, exactly. 1400 AM on your dial. We love that station. We've been in Vegas now for a few years. And we're also down in Albuquerque, New Mexico at K-Mine. It's K-Country, absolutely. When you need to get your K-Country on, K-Mine. And what are the call letters? I mean, the number?
It said 980 AM and the FM is, I'm not sure.
Okay, very good. Anyway, thank you very
but
much.
People there know.
Absolutely. And by the way, we have appreciated all the people from Albuquerque who do tune into the show as well as respond to some of the real estate agents and loan officers as well as company owners that we bring on from that great area. Albuquerque is one of the fastest growing areas in terms of how much your property costs. I'm sorry about that. Last year, I think it went almost up 20% in some areas of the city. Difficult to swallow if you're a local and you're trying to get into the town, but this is the way it is all over, and let's just get into that right now. 20% rise in home prices this year. Can that be sustained? No, it can't be sustained because unless a friend of mine is right, and he said every place in California is going to be $1 million or more, but that's just ridiculous. I mean, yes, we will go through some ups and downs in pricing, but the question is, are we going to go through those ups and downs in 2022? That's an answer for a lot of people, and during the show, we've had answers from several people who've tried to, you know, take a swing at it and tell you what they think. Overall, I think the economy is in pretty good shape. I think the asset bubbles, what they call the asset bubbles, which means 20% increase in your housing costs year over year, that's what we would call asset appreciation, but also a bubble. And how does that cure, and what is it exactly that we can do to make sure that people can afford a house? All of those are great questions. There are many answers. Usually, the market itself plays the biggest role of all. If someone wants something and someone else wants to buy it, they're going to have to pay. And if there's several people competing, usually it means you're going to compete and pay more money than you want to. That's just the way it is. But let's talk about some a little bit better news. Although rates have gone up, they're still in pretty good shape. Rates compared to a year ago, have really gone up quite a bit, over a point. 30-year fixed rate, 3.59%. 15 years at 2.85%. That's still a great deal. The FHA is at 3.22%. The jumbo is at 3.27%. And the 5/1 ARM is at 3.68%. All of these prices are historic lows if you take out COVID years, right? I mean, these are pretty darn good rates. Problem is, of course, house prices have really risen, closing costs have risen, and fix-up costs have risen. I just saw an article on, I think, Mortgage News Daily, or was it Housing Wire? Both of these are great places to go and find information. Lumber prices have really shot up again. We're now up to $1,200 a thousand cubic meters of board. I forget what the exact measurement is. It's standard and how they price wood and how they price lumber. At its height last year was at 1,600. It's now at 1,200 again. These particular wants and desires of the marketplace to buy and build, I think that's coming a lot in the U.S. market. It may be as a result of, you know, lack of housing, right? Or it may be a result of builders see that there's lack of housing, so therefore if they build now, they can make more money. Or it could be that they're just not sawing enough logs, you know what I mean? And I've sawed many a log, believe me, and the big snore. Okay, so the 10-year, we talk about the 10-year, that's a bond, and they sell that. The 10-year, the government sells 10-year bonds, I think it's monthly, and that price is really the indicator that we use to look at where mortgage rates are going. So we've seen a steady increase in the 10-year yield. The yield is what the government entices you to buy the bonds, meaning that they're going to give you more money. The higher the yield goes, that means the less desirable the bonds are. Now, the historically speaking, these particular yields are not that great. But if you look over the last 2 years, yeah, these bonds are really shot up. The 10-year yield is at 1.745%. Not a month ago, it was 1.35. And really 6-8 months ago, it was really just eking over 1 point. So we've seen very steady growth in the bond yield, meaning government debt isn't as attractive as it was, so therefore they've got to juice the yield in order to get people to buy the bonds. Just the way it is. Supply and demand being what it is, and the ability to make money somewhere. A lot of people during volatile times will obviously flock to the 10-year or the 30-year, usually the 10-year or the 2-year, just because U.S. bonds never defaulted and they always, you know, they're a safe haven. So if there's volatility in the world, we talked about this last week's show, if there's the war in Russia, although there's some meeting of the minds hopefully going on with that thing, or if COVID really takes a bite out of employment. Okay, let's take a timeout. COVID, what's happening? My own company wrecked it with COVID. COVID just went through it like blank through a goose. It was just unbelievable. Now, we do a lot of loans, and we service a lot of people, a lot of customers. So we've had many a customer on the phone complaining, yelling, screaming, that their loans weren't being done fast enough. And as patient I can tell people is that not only has COVID ripped through my own company, but most of the lenders out there who have way more employees in an office than I do have really been devastated, whether it's your underwriting, your setup, your closing departments. So if you have a company that's doing 1,000 loans a month, which for a large lender is not that many, right? And they lose a third of their people, that means the other two-thirds have to pick up the slack, which is why the system slows down. Now, there's this technology that can help in this area. UWM is good. Rocket Pro is good. There are a number of other lenders who have terrific technology to be able to speed it along. But in companies that need underwriting manually done, the non-QM sector, certainly. Anything that's outside the box, outside the conventional box, needs to get looked at by a person. Yeah, you're going to see slowdowns in what's happening because COVID is wreaking havoc. Now, hopefully, the end of February, early March, we're going to see a dramatic drop in COVID cases. But we are just, yeah, it's hurt the lending industry significantly because of the labor force. And so if you're out there and You're wondering why your loan isn't closing or how come this is taking so long. Just be patient. Most loans, like the ones that we deal with, are all approved. They're just not, you know, through the process entirely. That's just the way it is. Okay, a couple of quotes here. The price of labor is going up. That's Jamie Dimon. He is the head of Chase Manhattan. Price of labor is going up. We talked about it in an earlier segment. That's called inflation, and that kind of inflation, to me, is good. I think people making more money for doing the kind of work that they do is always a good thing. Second little quote here, the economy no longer needs aggressive stimulus. Jerome Powell, a couple days ago at his confirmation hearing, Jerome Powell is the man. I agree. They don't need aggressive. A lot of people say he's way behind on the inflation curve. I don't know. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But stimulating the economy so people don't fall into a recessionary mode, that was foremost on the mind when COVID started. One more. I think the worst might be yet to come. Okay, this is, we've talked about China. We've talked about the real estate sector, 25% of the Chinese economy. We talked about all the bonds from all these companies, Evergrande, Guangzhou, Shimao, all of them are about ready to have the proverbial something hit the fan. And when that happens, what's going to happen? This particular, if from Seaport Global, he's a financial analyst, and he says, I think the worst is yet to come, which means that if there's a panic in China, can the government save those industries or drag the whole economy down? And if that happens in China, it's going to happen here too. I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.